Welcome to the Eldritch Estate, an establishment dedicated to the bizarre, the dark, and all that is otherworldly. We invite our guests to come and stay a while, to enjoy the haunted hallways, the shrieks of terror and delight, to forget time in our enchantingly disturbing abode. Whether it's for an overnighter or a week-long stay, our hostesses will see to it that you are shocked, horrified, and left morbidly curious about the goings-on here at the estate. Will you take a trip with us? We can't wait for you to see what's in store. Hello, and welcome back to the Eldritch Estate. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Katie. Welcome home.
Welcome home. Halloween.
Spooktober.
Bonus episode.
Spooky, spooky, spooky.
So yeah, we have yet another bonus Halloween episode for you. I'm actually really impressed with us. It's a lot of work for us to get together with our conflicting schedules and get notes done and research and find the time to record and then edit and everything. And so for the whole month of October, you guys are getting 2 episodes per week, and that is crazy.
Wild.
Eventually, we would love to do 2 episodes per week all the time, but we're still kind of in the beginning stages of having a podcast. So yeah, we definitely want to do that for you guys, but for October, like I said, our power is strong, the spooky energy flows through us, and we are going to provide you with this content.
But you know what would help with more content? Listener support.
Yeah, man.
If you guys could share us, like, if you're listening to us, tag us in a story or make us a feed post or share our page. That would be really, really fucking cool and super helpful. And maybe we could talk about a Patreon program in the future.
Yeah, we're definitely planning on a Patreon because we would love to have that support from you guys. And we would be able to do so much more if we could have that support. Like I said, we want this to be huge. And our core group of followers and listeners right now, you guys are amazing. You guys are awesome.
Absolutely. We just need rock stars.
We just need more of you.
Yes.
So yeah, share, boost, comment, like, subscribe, all that stuff. We love it. Thank you so much.
Send us a listener tale. The hill I'll die on.
Hashtag send us a listener tale. All right, so this is another Halloween one for you guys, and this is a Halloween true crime episode. This is about the Lisk family murders. This one is graphic. I'm going to give a blanket trigger warning at the beginning here for sexual assault and gruesome murder. I will give another warning as we get closer to those sections of the story. Listen with your care in mind, friends.
Push that skip button if you need to, or choose a fluffier one if that's too much.
Yeah.
We got more Halloween fluff if
we
need it.
We got plenty of fluff. Yeah, go listen to the Flatwoods Monster if you need some fluff.
It's so cute.
Or birds aren't real.
Honestly.
Okay. The Lisk family lived in Martin, Ohio, a rural area just outside Columbus. I still hate saying that word. Rural.
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 The rural juror.
I just feel like I never say it right. The members of the family included William Bill Lisk Sr. and his wife Susan. The adult children living in the house were William B.J. Lisk Jr., as well as Susan's 2 sons, Devin and Derek Griffin. They were a blended family, with Susan now acting as stepmother to Bill's son, B.J. He spent plenty of time with his biological parents, as did Susan's sons. So, they're adult children. The 3 boys all live in the house with Bill and Susan, Bill Sr.
Mm-hmm.
And then, her 2 sons still go and see their biological dad, and BJ still goes and sees his biological mom. But these main 5 people are all living under the same house.
Okay.
However, not all was well within the household.
Oh, waters were rocky.
Yeah. BJ did not get along well with Derek and Devin, Susan's sons, nor did he get along well with his new stepmom, Susan. He had accused her of, quote, attempting to impose order in the house after their marriage in 2001.
This house is a fucking prison!
Literally, he's like, he's upset. We'll also come to find that BJ he's got some troubles. He's a troubled guy.
Okay.
In 2002, his father called police to the house because BJ was threatening to harm himself.
That's not good.
In 2004, police were called out again after he got into a physical altercation with Susan.
Oh.
He had, quote, struck her hard in the chest, according to the article that I found.
You ever been punched in the chest?
I have not, no.
It fucking hurts.
I would imagine it does, because, like, that's where your lungs are, and you can get the wind knocked out of you, and,
it, like, yeets the air out of your human very quickly.
Your sternum is just this, like, big-ass plate that's floating, and you, like, if you get hit in that, yeah, it's gonna hurt. 2 months later, BJ was charged with felonious assault and robbery. He had hit Susan with a coffee mug and then stolen her car keys.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't see, like, did he throw the mug at her or did he, like, hold it and hit her? But, I mean, like I said, it was enough for them to call the police and...
Well, and for an assault to be a felony, because I think to a certain point it's a misdemeanor, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds right.
For it to be a felony, like, he had to fuck her up.
Yeah, and then stealing the car keys, too.
Yeah, stealing a car is a big deal.
The charges were dropped, however, after he was found, quote, too incompetent to stand trial.
Okay.
Now, there are a few reasons that somebody may be designated incompetent to stand trial. Usually, it's related to mental health.
Yeah.
And I will link this article in the show notes, but according to this article, BJ had at least 3 encounters with police before being submitted to a group home in Sandusky.
I mean, at a certain point, you can't handle... a person who keeps attacking you.
Exactly. And like I said, he's an adult at this point, so they're keeping him in their house, but he could move out and be on his own. But, like, could he move out and be on his own? And he's clearly not happy sharing the house with Susan, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On one of the encounters, he had a physical fight between there was a physical fight between BJ and his father, Bill. By this time, BJ had also been kicked out of the family home once at 18 years of age for trying to attack Susan while she was in the shower.
Damn.
So we have a marked history of aggression here.
And to get someone in a situation where they're as vulnerable as being naked in the shower.
Right. So there couldn't have been much lead up to that, I would imagine. Like, it's not like...
That's an ambush, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're usually in there by yourself with the door locked more often than not, especially being in a house with... You said there was how many boys?
There's 4 men in the house and then Susan.
The door's probably locked because you don't want someone barging in on you when you're in the shower. So you had to, like, probably unlock the door, barge into the bathroom, and physically assault someone while they are in the shower.
In the shower.
Like, they didn't see that coming.
Exactly. And yeah, like I said, there couldn't have been probably much lead up to that unless they were arguing before she got in the shower and then he was still upset about it. I don't know. There isn't a whole lot of info about that particular encounter here. According to neighbors and other families in the area, though, they were all wary of BJ. He had been known to torture animals and kill neighborhood pets.
Oh.
Are the serial killer markers adding up for anyone else?
Yeah.
Red flag. Red flag. Red flag.
Wee-woo-wee-woo-wee-woo.
In case you're not aware, the, like, main 3 markers for a serial killer would be, like, setting fires, bedwetting, and cruelty to animals. And then a lot of times, too, we also see head trauma in there, like, either taking a blow to the head or being dropped on their head or something like that.
I didn't realize bedwetting was one of them.
Yes, so... I think we might have talked about it one other time, but if you see 2 out of 3 of those things in a young person or child, like, it should be a red flag to get them checked out, because these are the things that psychologically we see lead to violence and or murder.
Damn.
Like, that's the serial killer trifecta right there. It's said that despite all their problems, Bill never gave up on his son. In February of 2006, he filed for guardianship to retain parental rights of BJ. BJ had been diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder of the bipolar type.
That's hard.
Yeah, and so he basically, his ultimate goal here was to retain guardianship of BJ, but to have him living either in a halfway house or a group home for everyone's safety. He wanted to have that guardianship so that he could help him and make decisions for him.
I was
going to
say probably for, like, medical and medication type of...
Yes.
You know, therapy sort of decisions.
Because at this point, he's technically 18, he's an adult, but, like I said, Bill wanted that guardianship to continue to act with parental rights in regards to his son.
Word.
His application states, quote, he would eventually like to see him in a halfway house or group home. When William is on his medication, he does really good. After a while, he will stop taking it because he thinks he is okay, starts drinking, smoking pot, end quote. And I guess when BJ drank, it was not good. Like, you know, not taking his meds, but combined with the alcohol was really not a good combination for him, given his particular disorder.
Yeah.
In the week leading up to the murders, Bill had taken BJ out on a hunting trip. They were going to spend some time together in the woods hunting deer, talking, and bonding. The two returned from their trip sometime on October 30th, 2010.
That's the day before Halloween.
Yep.
Hallow's Eve.
Later that evening, Bill and BJ got together to have some beers with friends.
But you knew it was bad when he drank.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you do that?
And they were just gone on this hunting trip.
Blaming him.
But... yeah, obviously. And they were just gone on this hunting trip, and I don't know, sometimes people forget to take their medication when they go on trips, too. Like, I take vitamins every day, but I'm awful about remembering to take them when I'm on vacation or on a trip somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, I imagine it would be the same for meds. They had stayed out too long and had a bit too much to drive home, so, it was kind of hard to figure out here, but I assume Bill headed home in a cab, and BJ's friends made up the couch for him to sleep on.
Okay.
I couldn't find out exactly where the two of them split up, but I do know that Bill Sr. was asleep in the family home and that BJ stayed at a friend's house that night.
So okay.
Hopefully I'm being clear enough on that. Additionally, his stepbrother, Devin Griffin, was not at home because he had been spending the night at his biological dad's house. So in the family home that night, there was only Derek Griffin, who is Devin's brother, Bill Lisk Sr., and his wife Susan. Because BJ's at a friend's house, and Devin is with his bio dad.
Okay.
So we have one of the stepbrothers, the stepmom, and Bill Sr. in the house.
Three people in the house.
Yes.
Okay.
At approximately 6:30 a.m. on October 31st, neighbor Michael Gradle reported hearing what sounded like gunshots coming from the Lisk home. What had happened at the house would not be discovered until a few hours later, however.
Oh.
Now, like we said, Devin Griffin had been staying at his bio dad's house that night, but he needed to get his church closed that morning before the Sunday service. He had only stopped off briefly at the house to change and then went to church and sang in the choir. The service ended just after noon, and Devin headed home to relax and play video games. Now, what's interesting here is that Devin saw BJ that morning when he went home to change. According to the article I read, Devin came home around 9:30 a.m. that morning to change his shirt for church. He was there maybe 5 minutes, literally just to change, in and out. BJ Lisk uncharacteristically asked him what he was doing and how long he'd be gone, investigators wrote. Quote, Devin said he couldn't think of anything else that was said, but stated that BJ was acting happier, investigators wrote. To explain, Devin stated that normally BJ is gloomy. I asked Devin what made him think that BJ was acting happier. Devin stated that it was because he was happier, more upbeat, and more talkative. Devin stated that BJ is normally slow and darkish.
Well, and if he's experiencing bipolar disorder, that sounds like an upswing. Like
yeah.
He's experiencing some mania.
Mm-hmm.
Or could be. Not that I'm any kind of psychology expert, but the opposite of dark and gloomy is usually upbeat and cheery.
Yeah, and talkative. You see that sort of hyperactivity sometimes in the manic stage.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And Devin had at least the wherewithal, even in this just 5 minutes that he was changing, to think, boy, BJ doesn't really seem like himself right now.
Mm-hmm.
He seems a lot happier. He doesn't normally talk this much. Definitely doesn't really talk to me very much. Because remember, they don't get along. Yeah, BJ and the two sons of Susan, Derek and Devin, did not get along very well. After the church service, Devin arrived back at home around 1:30 p.m., and he noticed the house was especially quiet. Usually his family would have been awake by now, especially his mom, who was always up and doing something around the house. Devin began to look around for his family members. He went to the master bedroom and found his mother and stepfather, Susan and Bill Lisk, lying in bed with a maroon comforter pulled over their heads. I am going to give the trigger warning now. Trigger warning, this is going to describe how the bodies were found, mentions of murder and sexual assault. This is graphic, skip ahead if you need to. Devin walked around to the side of the bed, talking to his parents as he went. He saw his mother's foot sticking out from under the covers, and he tapped her on the leg. Hearing no response and getting no reaction, he pulled the covers off. He was greeted by a horrific sight.
No.
A bloody mess soaked the pillow. Both Susan Lisk and her husband Bill had been brutally murdered.
Fuck.
Bill, Devin's stepfather and BJ's biological father, had been shot 5 times in the head and face.
Holy shit.
Susan had been raped and shot 3 times at close range.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, we see some overkill there.
Yeah. Right?
Which indicates rage, that the killer was either very upset or some other way of being, like, emotionally heightened at this time, right?
BJ is Susan's biological son?
No, BJ is Bill Jr., Bill's okay. son.
Yeah. Okay.
I know, because it's a blended family.
Does it say anything about the relationship with his mom?
Not with his bio mom, we don't hear about. We only hear that, like I said, he's the one that has a lot of anger towards Susan. He doesn't like that she tried to come in and impose order on their house, basically. Okay. So, not that any of this makes sense, but it would almost make sense for him to kill his stepmom. He very clearly doesn't like her, and he's tried to attack her on several occasions.
Yeah.
But his dad, we never really hear that there was a bad relationship there. We hear that they had some struggles. Sometimes he would get in a fight with his dad, but it didn't really say what about. And it said that the dad, like we were talking about, never gave up on him. So you have to assume. And they were just back from their hunting trip. Mm-hmm. They had gone out together for that hunting trip.
Yeah.
And they had only been apart to sleep, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, like, it doesn't make any sense, but if we were going to try to make some sense out of it, you could see him killing Susan. You can't really see why he would kill his dad.
Yeah.
Devin's brother, Derek Griffin, Susan's other son, was also in the house. His bedroom was upstairs. By this time, Devin, remember, Devin was the one who was singing at church and came home and found them.
Mm-hmm.
He had called his aunt and 911.
Okay.
They went upstairs to investigate and found that the door was locked. Police kicked in the door and found Derek, quote, curled up in bed facing the wall. His cause of death was determined by the coroner to be blunt force trauma to the head. It is estimated that he died within minutes of the first blow.
Wow.
And I couldn't find anything about, like, why or how the door was locked.
Yeah.
Because the door was locked from the inside, I assume. And he was up there by himself.
If it's not a deadbolt lock, though, you can lock it and then walk out.
That's true. Yeah.
And most inside doors are not deadbolt locks, yeah. typically.
Good point. I hadn't thought about that. Downstairs, a bloodied claw hammer was found, as well as a set of muddy footprints near the pond outdoors on the deck. Police believe that the weapon had been disposed of there, so they drained the pond, but no weapon was recovered from the pond. So they found the bloodied claw hammer, which was obviously used to kill Derek Griffin, but they couldn't find the gun. Right. Police reported that there was no evidence of a struggle and that all three people had died in their beds, likely while they slept. BJ Lisk was immediately named as a person of interest. And if we kind of look at the timeline here, the neighbor, Michael Gradle, reports hearing gunshots, what sounded like gunshots, at approximately 6:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then Devin comes home around 9 or 9:30 to change for church, but he's only there for 5 minutes, and he talks with BJ.
Yeah, and he's in and out.
Right. So then he comes back later, and BJ's not there, and he's looking around for the rest of his family, and that's when he discovers the bodies, at about 1:30 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So, it freaks me out, for sure, that BJ was just hanging out in the house.
Yeah.
After committing these murders.
And cheery as fuck.
Yeah. And for a while, because there's at least a 3-hour gap between when the gunshots were heard and when Devin comes home to change.
Yeah.
And then there's another about 3 or 4 hours between when Devin comes back home and BJ's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you kind of have, it just makes you wonder what was going through BJ's head, really.
Yeah.
About an hour after Devin reported the murders, police were able to track BJ back to the cabin in the woods where he had been hunting with his father only hours before. Because remember, this was, they got back from the hunting trip on October 30th, mm-hmm. and this all happened in the morning on Halloween, October 31st mm-hmm. of 2010. Right after his encounter with Devin, BJ had driven the family's Ford F-150 to the cabin and was just waiting there, or hiding? I'm not sure.
Okay.
Carroll County Sheriff's deputies arrested him on one count of murder. There was a half-eaten Subway sandwich found on the counter. He had been sitting there and having lunch. For real.
Wow.
I know you guys can't see our faces, but we're both just sort of, like, dumbstruck right now. Just...
tall eyebrows.
Slow blink. Like, what else do you say? He killed his whole family, and then he went to the cabin and had a sandwich.
Like, not only went to the cabin and had a sandwich, he went to Subway.
Yeah.
And then went to the cabin.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, like, too, that he...
floated around like nothing happened.
He must have changed clothes, I assume, because he probably had to have blood all over him.
Yeah.
And Devin would have seen that when he saw him at the house. Mm-hmm. So.
So in that 3 hours, he was probably, like, showered and whatever
cleaned
the fuck.
Cleaned up and went, got rid of the gun somewhere, and went and got a fucking sandwich. And then went to hang out at the cabin. I don't know if he was just waiting for them to find him there, or if he really thought they wouldn't find him. Because we know he's not exactly in a clear mental state right now. Yeah. So. It's really hard to say. In September of 2011, William B.J. Lisk Jr. pled guilty to 3 counts of aggravated murder. He apologized for killing his father, and he said that Satan and his mental illness made him do it. Yep. Obviously, we're not blaming anybody for their mental illness. Like,
no.
That's something he couldn't help, but... you should have taken your medication, and I don't think Satan made you kill your whole family in cold blood, my guy.
With having the, like, schizoaffective issues, maybe some kind of hallucinatory something or
yeah,
other?
Yeah, could have been, like, an auditory or visual hallucination that he thought was or Satan, or paranoia. Appeared to him as Satan. Paranoia, for sure. Again, we're not excusing the behavior.
No,
but
absolutely not. Don't fucking kill people.
Don't kill people. But we're just trying to kind of understand it, because it seems sort of out of nowhere. Like, he was doing something that he enjoyed, presumably, before this. He was out on a hunting trip with his dad. The stepmom that he hates and the stepbrothers that he doesn't get along with are nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, had he been planning this the whole time, or did he come home from the hunting trip and something set him off? Because everyone was asleep.
Well, and he had been drinking, mm-hmm. and he had been drinking heavily enough to not be able to drive home.
Mm-hmm. And then he slept on
and
the couch.
And they said he got physical.
Yeah.
Or violent.
He was not a happy drunk, basically.
Yeah. In combination with potentially not taking your meds, I could see where that could set off a very bad episode.
And that's what it might be, is just a really awful episode that ended horribly. But we'll never really know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he pled guilty, and that was his explanation in the court, basically. This is from the court documents. It says, quote, "In exchange for his plea, prosecutors agreed to not seek the death penalty and instead recommended Lisk be sentenced to life without parole."
Okay.
He was eventually sentenced to serve 3 life sentences without the possibility of parole. He was sent to the Ross Correctional Facility in Chillicothe, Ohio. And I Googled how to say that, so
I was
hopefully
like,
I'm saying
damn, bro.
Correctly.
Congratulations on pronouncing that.
I literally have a phonetic spelling in my notes, because some of those Midwest towns be rough, man.
Yep.
Yeah, so he was sentenced to life without parole, and he was to serve 3 life sentences. That was in September of 2011. On March 31st, 2015, BJ was found dead of an apparent suicide. He sustained a self-inflicted wound and died in his cell. He was 29 years old.
Woof.
And that, my friends, is the story of the Lisk family murders, which occurred on Halloween morning, October 31st of 2010.
Well, that was the story.
Yeah. And
I think I might need to go watch cartoons now.
Yeah, you Ooh. Need something happy after this. Please go look at, like, pictures of puppies or baby goats or something, because, oof, that's a lot.
Yep.
And I think, like we were talking about, it's especially hard to try and justify it in your head, because you don't know how much of that was him acting on his own, of his own volition, and how much of it was the bipolar disorder and other extenuating circumstances, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you wish that he had just probably been in that group home getting the help that he needed and not living with the family, because it probably never would have happened.
Yeah.
And then I also really feel bad for Devin. He's the only survivor, really, of this whole ordeal.
And you said he was 18.
Yeah, his mom, his stepdad, and his brother were all killed by his other stepbrother. Like, he has his bio dad, and that's pretty much it. And no way you could keep living in that house, either.
Absolutely for the fuck not, no. That is so fucking sad.
I mentioned this in another episode for part of these Halloween bonus episodes, but there are quite a few murders that have taken place on Halloween, either by just it happened on Halloween, it just happened to be that day, or on purpose. Obviously, this one feels more like it just happened that way.
Yeah.
And it's really unfortunate, it's really tragic, but there you have it. Halloween true crime.
Yep.
And that's going to do it for your bonus episode for this week, friends. We hope you keep listening, and we will catch you in the next one. Remember, you can check out anytime you like,
but you can never leave.
Don't kill your family.
Take your meds.
Bye.
Bye.